And you are listening to the Texas Standard. We've been asking you for your questions about COVID-19, and you've definitely been sending them to us. For the duration of the pandemic, we'll be regularly trying to get to as many of your questions as we can with Dr. Fred Campbell. He's a doctor of internal medicine and associate professor of medicine at the Long School of Medicine, UT Health San Antonio. Dr. Campbell, welcome back to the Standard. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, this first question comes from listener Beth Cusack, who wanted to know about the possibility of over-the-counter medication exacerbating the symptoms of COVID-19. What do you know about how medicines like ibuprofen or other common over-the-counter drugs interact with this virus?
I fortunately have a very good and unbiased reference for medications during the COVID-19 situation, and my resources tell me that there's no evidence that drugs like ibuprofen or other anti-pain or fever medications are likely to have any adverse impact on COVID-19. What we call NSAIDs could conceivably cause some problems with the kidneys in people with severe diseases and that have severe COVID-19. However, it's just not proven at the present time. Acetaminophen, or the medicine in Tylenol, of course, is not an NSAID and does do a pretty good job of fever and pain reduction.
There are several parts to this next question from Twitter user Shrucy Shrew in Austin. First, for people who have tested positive for the virus and recovered, what's the criteria for their release from isolation, if you will, release sort of in quotation marks here? And are there enough tests to confirm a negative result?
First of all, we're trying to use data from the China experience to help us with recommendations regarding further isolation of patients who have been treated and have recovered from COVID-19. In general, people are released from the hospital when their symptoms are improving and have not had a fever within about 3 days, and they've had two negative tests for COVID-19 at least 2 days apart. They're still advised, of course, to do the same kinds of physical separation and common sense practices, including wearing a mask.
Are there enough tests around now so that those negative results can be confirmed on that second day after?
The difficulty with these tests, although they're reliable, is that it may take a significant period of time to get the results back just because of the incredible volume and demand for tests. It would be prioritized for those people who are actually being discharged from hospitals, however.
Very interesting. Now, what about the confidence that doctors have that people who seem to have recovered from their symptoms are no longer spreading the virus? Is that what most doctors rely on? If you appear to be asymptomatic, you are no longer capable of spreading this virus?
Well, that's an excellent question and one that is very, very difficult to answer reliably. Unfortunately, because there is such a high number of individuals that are likely to have mild or asymptomatic infections, and so everyone has to be considered infectious, with the possible exception of people who have recovered and have had testing done to show high antibody titers against COVID-19. It's a relatively small group.
So it's not just those who seem to have recovered from their symptoms, but they also need to have been tested to confirm negative results on the antibody side, right?
That's correct. And eventually we'll do more and more of that, and in particular because we can use the patient's serum that have high antibody levels to treat or even prevent infection.
Colleen Madigan is a listener who emailed us to ask you, how long does it tend to take for a patient to either recover or succumb to the disease after being placed on a ventilator? And is there any information as to the percentage of people once placed on ventilators who actually recover?
That, again, depends to a great extent upon the underlying conditions these patients may have. Now, there are otherwise healthy people who have died from COVID-19 infections, tragically, even our healthcare workers. However, statistically speaking, the high-risk patients with chronic heart, lung, kidney disease, and cancer, for instance, and then the very elderly have a high risk once they are requiring intubation of dying from COVID-19 infection, probably the majority of those patients that are very high risk.
Dr. Campbell, we were talking a little bit earlier about some of the work that you've been doing out in the field. I know you've been helping people who don't have many resources, trying to get answers. And you're in the San Antonio area. Are you seeing things start to level off, or is it too early to sort of say? I mean, what is your sense of where we stand currently in this crisis?
San Antonio, I believe, has been very aware of the risks early on, and we had actually housed some people for quarantine that came from other areas of the country and the world. So San Antonio, I think, had prepared well for this. Unfortunately, anything can happen, and there is a nursing home here in our southeast side that has had a severe outbreak and numerous deaths just in the last few days. So we must be as vigilant as possible all the time for as long as it's necessary to reduce the likelihood of this virus infecting the population.
Dr. Campbell, I was talking with a listener the other day who said, you know, once we feel like we're out of the woods and they start to release the restrictions on travel and, you know, where we work and that kind of thing, that there is, until there is a vaccine, there's going to be the danger of a rebound effect and that we might have to do all this all over again. Is that right, or what is your sense of how that sort of plays out next?
Our experience from looking at other viruses, in particular influenza, tells us that we can have a rebound effect, and this also occurs with some coronaviruses. So we will have a likely reduction in the number of new cases as warmer weather occurs, if history is of any use, and the likelihood of having a recurrence when cold weather starts again later this year is a distinct possibility. There's just no way to predict that right now.
Dr. Fred Campbell is on the front lines of this crisis. He's a doctor of internal medicine at the Long School of Medicine at UT Health San Antonio. And we've been having him on regularly over the course of this pandemic to try to answer some of your questions. Now, if you submitted one and you haven't heard it yet, we'll get to it. And if you have something you'd like to ask, well, look for us on Twitter, Facebook, or go over to texasstandard.org/coronavirus. You'll find a form there to submit your questions. Dr. Campbell, once again, thank you so much for taking our questions and joining us on The Standard.
My pleasure.